We've all heard it, right? Just be more confident. Simple advice. But if it really was that simple, well, wouldn't we all be nailing life constantly? Here at The Deep Dive, we're pushing past that surface level stuff. Today, we're digging into some sources that show confidence isn't like a magic button you press. It's more of a symptom, an outcome, really, of building a solid internal structure, a structure of belief. Our mission today for you is to explore those blueprints.
Yeah, and what's really interesting right off the bat is how these sources make us look again at the words we use every day. I mean, most of us just say confidence for everything, but there are these crucial differences. We've got self-esteem, that's your basic sense of worth, like, am I good enough overall? Yeah. Then there's self-efficacy, that's your belief about specific things. Can I actually do this task? And then self-confidence is maybe more general, trusting you can handle, you know, whatever life throws at you. Can I manage?
Okay, that's a really helpful distinction. Self-esteem, efficacy, confidence. Do the sources lean towards one being, like the foundation, or are they all tangled together? And look, for anyone thinking confidence is just fixed, something you're born with, what's the take there?
They're definitely tangled, highly interdependent. But self-efficacy, that belief in specific tasks, that often gives you the first tangible wins. And no, absolutely not innate. That's a key point in the material. It's dynamic. It's learnable. A skill. And really context dependent. You'd be totally assured leading a meeting, but then, I don't know, freeze up at a party.
Oh, totally. I felt that learning new software recently. Definitely no confidence there at first. So, okay, if it's a skill we can build, what are those psychological blueprints? How do we start?
Well, a really solid framework comes from Bandura, his self-efficacy theory. It breaks it down into four sources, but the two biggest hitters seem to be, one, mastery experiences. Mm-hmm. So actually succeeding at stuff, especially things that push you a bit, overcoming hurdles. And two, vicarious experiences. That's seeing other people, people you see as similar to yourself, actually succeed. It makes you think, hey, maybe I can too.
Mm-hmm.
The other two quickly are verbal persuasion encouragement, basically, and how you interpret your physiological or emotional states, like reframing nervousness as excitement.
Okay, mastery experiences sound key. So actually doing things, what are the common traps there? Do people try to bite off too much, maybe, according to the sources? And how does this psych stuff actually, you know, wire itself into our brains? Is there a biology connection?
Yeah, going too big too soon is definitely a common pitfall.
Yeah.
Leads to getting discouraged, right? So breaking things down is crucial. And yes, big time on the biology. It's not just abstract psychology. It connects directly to neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just your brain's amazing ability to change and reorganize itself based on experience.
Mm-hmm.
The core idea, neurons that fire together, wire together. Simple as that almost.
Yeah.
Every time you think or act confidently, you're literally strengthening those brain pathways.
Wow. Okay. So thinking confident thoughts physically changes your brain.
Right.
What about brain chemicals?
Exactly. And when you succeed, your brain releases dopamine. That's the reward chemical. It feels good, reinforces that pathway, makes you more likely to do it again. Your prefrontal cortex is heavily involved too, planning, decisions, self-control, all crucial for building that sense of capability.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something called the reticular activating system, the RAS. Think of it like your brain's attention filter. What you believe seems to program this filter. So you start noticing evidence that confirms your belief, whether that's I can handle this or I'm going to fail. It shapes your perceived reality.
That RAS idea is powerful. Your brain filtering reality based on belief. Scary and cool. So putting this together, the psychology, the brain science, what does authentic confidence actually look like in the real world? How does it show up?
Well, professionally, you often see more assertive communication, direct language, less hedging, decisive action, and resilience. Seeing mistakes or tough feedback as data points for learning, not as, you know, personal indictments, socially. Maybe steadier eye contact, more open body language. A focus on understanding others rather than just seeking approval. And importantly, the ability to set clear boundaries respectfully.
Right. So how do we actually build this? Let's get practical. The sources mention a technique called behavioral experiments. Can you unpack that? Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it's a great tool. Basically, you treat your fear-based beliefs like hypotheses, things to be tested, not facts. So say you believe, if I go to this networking event alone, absolutely no one will talk to me. That's your hypothesis, the experiment. Go to the event, maybe just for an hour, and set a small goal. Initiate one short conversation. Even just asking someone about the coffee. The point isn't to become the most popular person there overnight. It's just to gather data. Did absolutely no one talk to you? Probably not. You tested the belief. Small, manageable steps are absolutely key here.
That's clever. Turning fear into like a mini science project. Love that. And this feeds right into that competence-confidence loop idea, doesn't it? You try something small, gain a bit of skill or competence that builds a little confidence, which then encourages you to try something slightly harder.
Exactly. It's a virtuous cycle. You build momentum.
And celebrating those small wins helps, right? It gives you that dopamine boost we talked about, the tiny steps method.
Absolutely. Acknowledge the progress. And don't forget the external stuff, too. Your social connections, your relationships, especially supportive ones, they provide real psychological strength. Thinking about a supportive partner can actually boost confidence before a challenge.
That's interesting. And what about our environment?
Yeah, even just curating your physical space or your digital space. Mm. Getting rid of those small, persistent annoyances, sometimes called tolerations. Mm. Fixing that leaky faucet. Unsubscribing from annoying emails. It sounds minor, but it increases your sense of control, which feeds into confidence.
Makes sense. It all connects. So how do we keep it going? Confidence isn't a one-and-done thing, is it?
Definitely not. It's dynamic. Needs maintenance.
Yeah.
Two key practices the sources highlight are consistently reframing failure. See it as data, information for growth, not the end of the story. And committing to continuous learning. Always be adding to your skills, your knowledge. That builds competence, which fuels confidence.
So wrapping up, maybe the final thought for you is this. Real confidence, the deep kind. It isn't about never feeling fear. It's more about trusting that you can handle the outcome emotionally, whatever happens, and having the courage to act anyway, aligned with your values, even with the fear. This deep dive showed you the architecture. Now you're the architect. Go build.